Good deal. Well, it's good to see everybody tonight. I want to talk to you tonight from God's Word. You can go ahead and take your Bibles and open up to the book of Jeremiah. But we might ask ourselves the question, when we have gone over the things that we have, overviewing the Bible, and we see Israel and how they rejected God and forgot God, why would they do that? What was the problem? And tonight I want to take a moment to really look at the heart of the problem. And what we will see from that is that it is a problem of the heart. All right? And if I were to entitle this message tonight, that's the message, the title of the message, The Heart of the Problem. And we will seek to discover this from the book of Jeremiah. Let's pray to the Lord together before we get into this. Lord, as we look to your word tonight, I pray that we would be able to see the truth that's found in it, and God, not see it as something that is remote to us, but Lord, that is something that is very near to us. For in all of our hearts, we struggle, Lord, we struggle with sin, with disobedience to you, and desiring to go our own ways. I ask you, God, tonight that your word would inform our minds and our hearts tonight, that we might walk in obedience to you. I thank you for Christ, who was always obedient, who was always faithful, and who is the one who is able to bring us to God. And I pray this in his name. Amen. Jeremiah, go ahead and turn to chapter 17. You might have thought, well, that's where he's going to go, so I'll just go ahead and go there. Jeremiah chapter 17. This is a verse that I imagine most of you have heard often or are at least somewhat familiar with. And you can find it here in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, where it says in the Word of God, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" All right, so this tells us the condition of the heart. The heart is, how does it describe the heart? Verse 9, how does it describe the heart? Deceitful. What else? Desperately wicked. All right, so we don't all have a good heart, do we? Like the world might seek to teach us. The Bible teaches the opposite of that. And it even says there, who can know it? Who can know how desperately wicked the heart is? Who can know how deceitful the heart is? If you look at the next verse, the Bible tells us. Yep, that's right. So in verse 10, it says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." So what you find here is that the heart and the mind are connected. All right? The heart and the mind are connected to one another. And then between the two of them, they bring about something in our lives. They bring about doings. You see there at the end of verse 10, according to the fruit of his doings, God will give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. What dictates our doings? We're going to see, I think, in the book of Jeremiah that our heart and here our mind dictate our doings, the things that we involve ourselves in and the character really which we as individuals have. So this is a theme verse in the book of Jeremiah. Now, a little question for y'all. When did Jeremiah prophesy? What was going on in the history of Israel or Judah when Jeremiah was a prophet? Anybody remember? Okay, it was during the time of the deportations, and there were three of them, and they were deported to where? To Babylon. That's exactly right. So Jeremiah had about a 50-year ministry there in Judah and Jerusalem. And so he was prophesying during that time to this people. He saw a whole lot, as you might read through the book of Jeremiah and find out. Here's what I want to do. If you would go with me to the earlier part of the book, Jeremiah, let's start in chapter 3. If you would go to Jeremiah chapter 3, what we're going to do is I want to peruse a few chapters here in Jeremiah, really a few verses in various chapters in the book of Jeremiah, that will teach us what was going on. Why did they do what they do? Why did they worship those gods that they worship? Why didn't they follow God obediently according to what is said in His Word? If you'll look at verse 17 of chapter 3, Jeremiah, it says, "At that time Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem." So this is a promising prophecy that's given here, okay? But now notice how it goes on. "No more shall they follow the dictates of their evil hearts." All right, so what this is implying here is that they were following currently the dictates of their evil hearts. Your Bible may say something more along these lines. No more will they walk after the stubbornness or imagination of their heart. Okay? So in other words, the picture that's being drawn here is that their heart was telling them what to do. And there's a time coming, according to Jeremiah 3:17, to where they will no longer do that, but they were currently doing that. All right, now if you'll go to chapter 7, verse 24. Chapter 7, verse 24. Again, I don't have time to look into all the context here of each one of these verses, but hopefully it'll be clear enough. Verse 24 of chapter 7 says, "Yet they do not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward." You ever feel that way in your walk, in your Christian walk, that you're going backward and not forward? May feel that way in life. But here, the reason they were going backward and not forward is because they were following the dictates, the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts. They were listening to their heart, and their heart was not causing them to progress in their relationship to God, not in their obedience to God. Again, stubbornness or imagination. Now, if you'll go with me to chapter 9, verse 14. Jeremiah 9, verse 14. I'll start at verse 13. Jeremiah chapter 9. It says, "And the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it, but have walked according to the dictates of their own hearts, and after the Baals, which their fathers taught them." Verse 15, "Therefore, says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the Gentiles, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them until I have consumed them." Dictates of their own hearts was not reaping good benefits for them. Chapter 11, verse 8. Chapter 11, verse 8. Here, in similar fashion, and this being in the context of them being reminded of the covenant and that they've broken the covenant. Looking at verse 8, it says, "Yet they do not obey or incline their ear, but everyone followed the dictates of his evil heart. Therefore, I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I command them to do, but which they have not done." Okay? We're seeing a pattern here. If you'll go with me to chapter 13, verse 10. Here in chapter 13, verse 10, the Bible says, "This evil people who refuse to hear my words, who follow the dictates of their evil hearts, and walk after other gods to serve them and worship them, shall be just like this sash, which is profitable for nothing." All right. So far, would you say that it's a great idea to follow your heart? What your heart's teaching you? The natural inclinations of our hearts? Not a good idea. And the last one that we find in chapter 18, verse 12. Here, Scripture says, chapter 18, verse 12, "And they said, that is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart." Wait, there is one more, actually. If you'll go to chapter 23, verse 17. Here we are, chapter 23, verse 17. This is the last reference that I'll give to you with this phrase in it. Starting at verse 16, it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you." All right. So this seems to be the pattern that's found in the book of Jeremiah at the time when Jeremiah was prophesying of the people to the people concerning their condition that they find themselves in. And really, the heart of their problem was a problem of their heart, and they were listening to their hearts rather than obeying the Lord. Now, when we were looking there, I think it was in chapter 11, and I just spoke briefly to you about the covenant, and they were told that this curse was coming upon them, or the consequences of their sin was coming upon them because they had not obeyed the covenant. What covenant? What covenant? And if you're thinking, well, maybe what about the book of Deuteronomy? Then you'd be thinking correctly. Now, here's what I'd like to ask you to do. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 29. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, we have the blessings and the cursings. This is told to the people before they go into the promised land. And, you know, if they obey, they'll be blessed. If they do not obey, they will be cursed. Chapter 29 kind of tells them how they are to ratify that once they go into the promised land. They are to stand on a couple of different mountains and speak the blessings and the cursings to one another. And actually, that's in 27. 28 is where those are laid out as well. And then 29, the covenant is renewed. All right, so if you will look with me here, remember, they have not gone into the promised land yet. We'll pick up at verse 14. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 14. Jeremiah was prophesying hundreds of years later. All right, so verse 14, Moses preaches to them and says, "I make this covenant and this oath not with you alone," God through Moses speaking to them, "but with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as with him who is not here with us today." So he's talking to the people in Jeremiah's time as well. Verse 16, for you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and that we came through the nations which you passed by. And you saw their abominations and their idols which were among them, wood and stone and silver and gold. Verse 18, so that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. And that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. And so, in verse 19, it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. Isn't that something? That before Jeremiah ever lived, by far, and ever prophesied to the children of Israel and rebuked them for following the dictates of their evil heart, that the word of God by Moses in the covenant warned them of doing that exact thing, and that they will actually bless themselves and say that they'll be just fine even though they follow the dictates of their evil hearts. Our hearts are tricky and dangerous, and that goes for every one of us, folks. There could be all of us here tonight who are struggling with or battling with a problem in our heart. It could be in relationships. It could be in our theology. It could be in any area of life that our heart wants to deceive us and cause us to believe and follow something that God does not say is true or says isn't. I don't know how I'm going to say that. They want us to follow something that's a lie rather than what God says is the truth. The heart does. Your heart and my heart, and the heart, you could say this, it's been often defined as the seat, in the human soul, it is the seat of our emotions and our will. It's the center of our being. And our hearts are not naturally good. Our hearts will seek to deceive us. And I want to ask you this question that you can answer for yourself. In what area of your life tonight could it be that your heart is seeking to deceive you to go the wrong way rather than the way that God would have you to go? You see, it is a battle that each and every one of us faces. It is a battle that is real, and it is a battle that never ends as long as we are on this side of heaven. With that being said, I want to just give you a little bit of instruction about keeping our hearts. If you take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And there's a lot more that could be said about this, but I'm not going to do it tonight. Proverbs chapter 4. I'll start at verse 20, and let's work our way through to verse 27. And I hope that this information that we find in the Word of God would be helpful to you tonight and to me. Proverbs 4, starting at verse 20. And you remember these early chapters of Proverbs, there's a father speaking to his son. You often find the words, my son. my son, give attention to, my son, hear. All right, so we find that here in verse 20. Y'all got it? Everybody got it? If you do, say amen. Amen. All right, there we are. So Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Okay, so what's happening here is a father is instructing his son in the ways of the Lord. And that son is to take those instructions and put them in the midst of his heart. In the midst of that place that seeks to deceive him, that deception should be countered with the truth of God's word. All right, going on in verse 22. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. What is? Instruction given to a person that aligns with the truth of God's word. That is life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, if you'll look at verse 23, the scripture says, keep your heart with all diligence. In other words, he's saying, guard your heart with all observance. And it's like a guard being very careful on his watch to pay attention to everything that's going on. He says, keep your heart with all diligence. Your translation might say vigilance. You're very careful about this. Because he says in verse 23, at the end of it, for out of it the issues of life. Or out of it spring the issues of life. You ever known somebody and you're like, man, boy, that person's got a lot of issues. We've all probably said, oh, boy, they've got a lot of issues. You know where those issues came from? They came from that person's heart. You know where your issues come from? And mine? They come from our hearts. Why? Because our hearts are deceitful. They are desperately wicked. Now, there's so much more that could be said just about that, but I want to give you some practical things here, verse 24 and following. Let's read through this, and then we'll discuss it a little bit, because notice what he says. Verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth. Okay, notice he starts with the heart, and now he goes to the mouth. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Okay, so it goes from the heart to the mouth to the eyes. And then verse 26, ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. All right, so we got the heart, and then after the heart, we've got the mouth and the lips. We've got, after that, the eyes. After that, we've got the feet. So it's talking about the heart impacting the entire person. And that's what I really thought. All right, if we keep our hearts with all diligence, then we are going to be careful about what we say. We're going to be careful about what we look at. We're going to be careful about where our feet go. A kept heart, a guarded heart, will impact what we do. And that's true. But we also need to look at it this way. What we do is directly tied with the guarding of our hearts. If you think you can say whatever you want to say and your heart is being kept, you're wrong. If you think you can look at whatever you want to look at and your heart is being kept, you're wrong. You're not guarding your heart. If you think that you can go wherever you want to go and your heart is not affected and you're guarding it, you're wrong. If you think you can turn to the right or the left anytime you want to and go to evil rather than removing your foot from it, you're wrong. You see, what we do, what we take in, what we look at, what we say is not only a evidence of what is in our hearts, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, but those things also keep us from guarding our hearts as we ought to. And one last thing I would point out to you. If you would take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews. Because here's the reality. If we're not careful, we are just like that man of Deuteronomy chapter 29 who blesses ourselves in our hearts and says that we're fine, even though we're doing the evil dictates that our heart gives to us. And the Bible doesn't want us to be that way. Of course, the Scripture informs our hearts and what our goal must be as the church, as the people of God, is to have hearts that are informed by the Word of God. Just like our consciences are informed, they're educated. What are they educated with? They're educated with the truth of God's Word. Our hearts must be educated with the truth of God's Word. And here in chapter 3 of Hebrews, I would like to also just point out to you the importance of the church. And we'll see in here the heart being mentioned several times. If you'll pick up with me in verse 7 of Hebrews 3. Here it says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." Did you see in this passage what is a key to us keeping ourselves from a hardened heart? From a heart that is deceived? Did you see what is pretty critical for that? It's found, exhort one another. Verse 13, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today." It's a good thing you're here tonight, because we need to be together as the people of God. And we need exhortation from one another. And I pray that you've been exhorted tonight. Let us guard our hearts and keep them with all diligence. For we know that out of them springs the issues of life. And we know that from the Word of God that our hearts are deceitful. They're desperately wicked. But God knows our hearts. You see, we could all come right in here, look the part, say the right things, but there's one who knows our heart, and it's God who searches the heart. Tonight, what kind of condition is your heart in? Do you have a heart that is right with God through faith in Jesus Christ? If so, praise the Lord. If you don't, I invite you tonight to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved from your sins. Tonight, if you're a Christian, Is your heart deceiving you? Are you going astray in your heart? Is it becoming hardened? Tonight I beg you, listen to the word of the Lord and let the word of God, the hammer of the word of God, break away that hardened heart tonight. And I pray you will commit yourself to the Lord afresh, even this evening. Let's pray together. God, again, I thank you that we have your word. It is a light and a lamp. And Lord, I know the struggles of the heart. We all do. And Lord, we need to not lean to our own understanding. I pray that none of us would, but that we would be reminded this night of that enemy that is within us, that we must constantly keep and guard. And Lord, that not only should we keep and guard our hearts, but every area of our lives, help us, Lord, to not be deceived. I pray that we would encourage one another daily as the church. Oh Lord, in any place, in any heart, where there is great struggle, perhaps even of unbelief tonight, Father, I pray that they would be encouraged, exhorted this day to continue in faith, looking to your Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.